Very good morning. Good morning, Namibia. Good morning, my dear listeners. Welcome to Eagle FM. Welcome to your favorite, your number one talk radio station. All right. This is not working.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Very good morning to you. Welcome to your number one talk radio stations. There was something actually wrong with my mic there. So good morning and welcome. This is your number one talk radio station, and it's a Wednesday morning, the 29th of April. So the month is it's getting there. It's only one more day. Just hold on. Just hold on. So just a few hours, you know. So before we actually say goodbye to April, and also we come to the end. It's come to the end of the month. It's end of the month. So tomorrow is the end of the month. So yeah, then you can get excited. All right, good morning and welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshoveli. David, thank you for handing over the mic on this side. And yeah, this is your daily dose of what is going on in business, economic, and politic. So every weekday, we cut through the noise and make sense of the big stories, the trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear here, and always being curious. We always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect of those Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark the meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headline with me and get to the heart of stories. So very good morning. And if you're just joining us, our time is about 4 minutes past the hour of four, and we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio and from the great region of the Oshana region. So yeah, as what we do normally, we start we go back into history. We go back, find out what happened on this day in Africa. So welcome, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're tuning in from across this beautiful, beautiful continent and beyond. So welcome back to On This Day in Africa, your daily dose of African history, heroes, and heritage. So today we are turning the calendar page to April the 29th. All right. And cast your mind back to 1961, April 29th to be exact. So Kwame Nkrumah, a man named Kwame Nkrumah, who was the leader of Ghana at the time, had a big dream. He had a big dream, and I mean a real, really, really big dream. So he got together with the leaders of Mali and Guinea, and they did something bold, you know. They formed what they called the Union of African States. Now, here is what Nkrumah was really after. He wanted to create one big United Africa, kind of like the United States of America, but for the whole continent. Okay, so he wanted it for the whole continent. So he called it his vision of United States of Africa. So think about how ambition that was, you know, at that time. Three country joining hands, saying, we are strong together. So now, here's the truth. I mean, here's now the honest truth. It didn't last, actually. So that union of African state didn't last. The union fell apart about 5 years later, in 1966. But you know what? It wasn't a failure. It was not a failure, not really, because it showed the world that African leader, at that time, African leader were thinking big. At that time, they were thinking, because they were thinking about unity when so many forces at that time, so many forces wanted to keep them divided. So, and that dream, it's still actually alive in today's organization like the African Union. So that's how it started. So it's still, that dream of Kwame Nkrumah is still actually alive. So, but let's also dream that one day, maybe, we will have the United States of Africa. And let's jump into our time machine again, all the way back to April 29, 1934 in Cape Town, South Africa. So a baby was born there in Cape Town, and his name was Dula Omar. Now, a little Dula couldn't have really imagined or couldn't have known it then that he would grow up to become one of the most important figures in South Africa's fight against apartheid. So that apartheid, that brutal system where people were treated differently just because of their color of the skin. Now, Dula Omar didn't just protest, you know, he was not just one of the people who protested. He became a lawyer, and he used he used the law as a weapon against injustice. So, and when apartheid finally fell, when South Africa became a democracy, guess what? So, guess what? He became the country's Minister of Justice. So he was the first Minister of Justice when the country actually became democratic. So he helped build now the new legal system. He's the one who helped to build the new legal system. He helped make sure that human rights weren't just about word on the paper, but real protection for real people. Now, Dula Omar passed away in 2004, but his legacy, that still lives on. That still lives on every day in South Africa's court and communities. So you can still see his legacy in South African courts and also in the community. All right. Let's lighten the mood. Did you know that April 29 is International Dance Day? Okay. Today is an International Dance Day. Yes, it's a thing celebrated all over the world. International Dance Day. So, and here in Africa, we do it right. Okay? So, we do it right. So, across the continent today, you will find cultural festival with people coming together to celebrate, you know, traditional dance showcases, you know, from the energetic moves of the Western Africa, you know, to the rhythmic steps, you know, in Southern Africa, that you can find in Southern Africa. So, communities celebrating their heritage and through movement, you know. So, that's what you see today. And you see in Africa, dance is not just, entertainment. You know, it's storytelling. Okay? It's identity. It's part of our identity. It's how we pass down traditions from grandparent to grandchildren. So, when we dance, and when we dance, we are saying, this is who we are. Eh? This is where we come from. So there's so much in dancing. So if you are listening and you feel like moving today, well, go ahead. Today you have an excuse, actually, a perfect excuse, you know, to do that. Because it is, you know, International Dance Day. All right. So, yeah. And there you are. There you have it. There you have it, my dear listeners. That's April 29th. In African history. So until next time, remember, Every day is a chance to learn something new about this incredible continent we call home. All right, that has been On This Day in Africa. Okay, welcome. If you're just actually joining us at this point, you are tuning to Unpicking the Day on Eagle FM. Our time, it's 11 minutes past the hour of 8. Now, let's get into our thought for the day. Good morning, okay? All right. Here's something to wake us up this morning. Now, there's an African proverb that says, if you travel with lies, okay? If you travel with lies, you may reach your destination, but you won't find your way back. Yeah? If you travel with lies, you may reach your destination, but you won't travel back. You won't find your way back. It's an African proverb. Now, think about that. So, think a little bit deeper about that. You might get ahead using lies. Okay? That's what you might get ahead using lies. You might even win for a moment. But when it comes to return, when it comes time to return, when truth catches up with you, you are lost, no direction, no trust, no way back. That's what it means. Because lies don't just take you forward. They burn the road behind you. So here's the challenge for today. So our challenge for today, then, don't just focus on getting there. Focus on how you get there. Okay? How you get there is very important, because success built on lies, it's a dead end, my friend. It's a dead end. And ask yourself, if everything came out today, if your life came out today, would I still find my way back? So that's your thought for the day. Okay? Make sure that your journey is based on truth. All right. So, good morning and welcome. So, it's a Wednesday morning. We're right in the middle of the week. And things are happening. So, what happened around Namibia and around the world? If you want to know what is happening around the world and around this country, and especially when it comes to business, economics, and politics, this is the right place to be. So, all right. So when we come back, we're going to get into what we are going to talk about this morning. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a sec.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
That's very true. It's definitely you. So, and you in Namibia. Yeah, the you in Namibia is definitely you. All right. It's never boring, actually, in Namibia. Yeah, that's why we love this country. That's why we love this country. So, good morning. Good morning. Welcome. So, what are we going looking at? As civil servant, like the teachers, continue to advocate for a better wages. Now, the President Nandi Ndaitwa, has just approved a lucrative new pay and utility package for politicians. So Her approval of that lucrative new pay and utility package for politicians has sparked a debate over government spending and also government's priority. So we're going to look at that. We're going to go into the packages that the politicians are giving themselves. So we're going to look at that. So we're going to unpack that. So make sure that you unpack that with me. And also, there's a latest annual report, the Public Servant Commission, Public Service Commission's latest annual report, reveals also a growing government workforces of over 114,000 employees. And that actually is driving a projected 37.1 billion wage bill. Also, in the report, it's highlighting ongoing challenges in terms of management diversity and also staff discipline. So we also going to peep into that report and see what does it say, you know. So make sure that you stay tuned. Stay tuned. So we're coming. We'll go back.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Yes, that's right. Stay connected with Eagle FM. You can stay connected with us anywhere, anytime. So wherever you are, you can listen to Eagle FM through. You can also listen that through your website, through Eagle FM website and Eagle FM mobile app that you need to download. Download it now. If you don't have it, do it now. Okay? I will be waiting for you. I'll be waiting for you to do that. Okay? I'm going to give you time to do that. All right. So you can download it from the Google Play or Play Store. So, and make sure that you do that. All right. Welcome back. This, if you don't want to miss out, and I also tell people that that's the direction we are going. That's the direction the world is actually going. Make sure that you know, it's going the way of apps nowadays. So, yeah. Now, all right, let's get into our today's story, you know. If you're joining us now, I'm Mike, your host. And this morning, we need to talk. We need to talk about money. Okay, not your money, not my money, the money that leaves your pocket every payday. It's your money, actually. The money that leave your pocket every payday in the form of taxes. That's the money we're going to talk about. Where does it end up? Okay, where does it end up? Let's say you're a teacher in Oshikoto or anywhere, or in Rundu or in Opuwo, you know, standing in front of, how many? Standing in front of 40 learners or 50-something learners. You are earning roughly 79,000 a year. Meanwhile, in Windhoek, a minister just got handed a package worth over 1.3 million. Now, you're a teacher, wherever you find yourself in that rural area doing so much, you're earning about 79,000 a year. And a minister just handed a package worth over 1.3 million a year. And the prime minister, his total package now sit at, you know, 1.65 million with water and electricity through, you know, thrown in there as well. Water and electricity is now given. It's also thrown in there for free. Okay? For free. Now, the person shaping your child's future, just think this, okay? The person who is shaping your child's future, take home in a year what the minister actually earn about 3 weeks. So what your person teaching your child, you know, your child's future takes home, the minister earned that in 3 weeks. Compare that. Just let that sink in a little bit. Let's just, that's what we're looking at now. So the question this morning is simple. So the way we're looking at this, it's very simple. When government now say there's no money, okay? And remember, the reason why I'm saying about the teachers, because the teacher have been actually asking for increase. So when the government say there is no money for teachers, but find money for politicians, what does that tell you about your priorities? So what does tell you about priorities? That's up to you. That's up to you to decide. So that's the question we are unpacking. Okay? So let's get into it. Let me walk you through what just happened. Okay? I'm going to walk you through step by step what happened. On the 27 April 2026, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah signed a presidential proclamation that actually rewrite the pay structure for every politician and public office bearer in this country. All right? Now, the old framework from 2017. Yeah, it's from 2017. It's gone. Okay? That old framework, that salary structure of politician from 2017, poof, it's gone. All right? A new one takes effect from the 1st of April 2026. Backdated, by the way. Okay? This is actually also backdated. April the 1st, 2026. So the public office bearers, remunerations, commission, actually the public office bearer remuneration commission made the recommendation. So they are the one who make this recommendation. I need to find out who these people are. Eh? Seriously. And the president approved them. Okay? They make the recommendation and the president will approve them. Simple as that. Simple as that. And remember, no parliamentary debate. Normally things like this should be actually brought in the parliament, isn't it? Eh? No parliamentary debate. No public consultation. You know, the government loved public consultation. There was no public consultation, just a signature. Okay, so what changed now? What has changed? Well, let's unpack this, okay? Let's unpack this because the numbers are enough to make your head spin, actually, okay? The numbers are really, really up there. And it can make your head spin. Absolutely make your head spin. And you have to understand it. You have to look at that in the context of Namibia and in the context of where we are. There are so many pressing issues, you know, in Namibia at this point in time. You have to look at that in this context. Okay? So unemployment, you know, debt, you know, and many things at this point in time. And even the other civil servants as teachers who have been demanding, you know, for increase. So now the Minister of Finance, told us earlier this year, you know, that 58 million was specifically set aside just to improve the lives of the politician. All right, it was specifically set aside actually to improve the life of the politician, out of a national budget of 104 billion. You remember when she actually gave that at the beginning, Elliot, at the during her whatever address. So that's out of 58 million out of 104 billion. Okay, so 58 million might sound like a small drop, but you know, but let's look at the trend, man. Let's look at the trend. Let's look at what has changed. Now, let me highlight a few things, okay, that are popping out of this. One is utility cover. But we're gonna go into the detail of the package itself. But just to highlight a few things. So utility power, For the first time, the state is actually covering water and electricity for the PM and the deputy PM, for the prime ministers and the deputy prime ministers. All right. And then you have the people that I call the middlemen. Okay. You know, the middlemen or the middlewoman. We have special advisors earning between 723, you know, thousand and 1.3 million. And sometime up to now, really up to now, I don't know what is the work of these people. So if you actually have a minister that's actually responsible, let's say, for example, you know, it comes with actually the former president when you have advisors actually doing certain things that the minister that's responsible for that sector is doing. Now, we have these special advisors earning between 720, you know, I call them middlemen, you know, or middlewomen, you know, 723,000 and 1.3 million a year. And then you have opposition, even the leader of the of official opposition through the IPC, from the IPC, is now earning a total package of 1.1 million. All right. Okay. Let's get into some very, very important people. Now, the VIPs. Okay. So we're not going to go through everyone. So let's look at some VIP just to get us a picture. You know, maybe if you haven't picked up a paper somewhere or where this, you haven't seen this and that. The prime minister now earns a basic salary of 1.3 million in a year. Now you add housing there, add housing allowance there of 351,175 plus free water. Remember, I talked about free water, plus free water and electricity, plus official transport. And the total package hit 1.65 million. That's roughly, where is my calculator? Okay, that's roughly 137,500 per month. 137,500 per month. Okay, that's the prime minister. The deputy prime minister takes home 1.34 million total. And then you have the full cabinet ministers, that including the attorney general, the NS, the NCIS, you know, the director general, the auditor general, the National Planning Commission boss, you know, they all get about 1.34 million each. Okay, they all get that. So, and the deputies, and we have a couple of them who actually just have been appointed. We're going to look at the deputies when we come back. Stay tuned.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. And if you're just joining us, we're looking at the proclamations, the new, we're looking at the new recommendation. It's not the recommendation, but the public office bearers remuneration package, new presidential proclamation on the office bearer, public office bearers, compensation. Okay, that's what we're looking at, and we're talking about 58 million that has been put aside to make sure that, you know, these guys live in luxury. Okay? Basically, that's what it is. Now, the deputy ministers, they lent at roughly 970,000. The regional governor, the same. Even your ordinary members of the National Assembly walk away with a total package of 878,706. You know? So, and now, here's the part that actually gets me. Okay, that's maybe it doesn't get you, but it gets me. Okay? Does it make sense that we are paying for water and lights of someone earning $1 million? Eh? We're paying water and lights of someone earning $1 million. While the grandmother in Katutura is getting her electricity cut off because she owes NAM Power, a $500 Namibian. Eh? In a country, seriously, and I said, let's think about this in a real context where we are. So in a country where ordinary citizens are choosing between buying prepaid electricity or putting food on the table, our top politician won't even have to look at the utility bill. They don't even have to look at that. For the rest of how many? 5 years? Yeah. They don't even have to look at that bill. Yeah. Now, let me give you the full picture. Okay? I'm going to give you the full picture. Because what I said, let me give you a full picture. I'm saying, let me put you in the context of what is happening. Okay? Because this doesn't happen in a vacuum. There is a context to this. You and I are part of that context. And this is actually happening against the backdrop of the countries in pain. Namibia is a country in pain. Seriously, we are a country in a pain. Our national unemployment rate, it stands at what? It stands at 36.9%, according to the national statistics, to our own statistic. Youth unemployment, let me give you a context. Youth unemployment is over 54%. More than half of the young Namibians who want to work cannot find work. 54%. Let me give you another context. And those who do have the job, people who have a job, here is the number that should give every policymaker now who's getting this fat package, it should give them a headache. Now, it should, those who the people who are working, who have a job, 55.4% of employed Namibian earn less than 5,000 per month. You know, when we're talking about the coefficients, the Gini coefficients, you know, when we're talking unequal, now 55.4% of employed Namibians earn less than 5,000 per month. That's half of the population that works. Half of the population that works earn less than 5,000 per month. And statistically also, you see, 2.6% earn above 40,000. This is our own statistic, guys. 2.6% earn above 40,000. You can see a huge group of people, a huge group of number that are working, you know, actually earn below 5,000 per month. And then just small elite, that are actually earning above 40,000. Well, including now, of course, it has been always the case. So you can, Namibia's Gini coefficients, it sit at 0.59. It could be more. So making us one of the most unequal countries on the planet. And it's there, right out there. You can see that. You don't need to be an economist actually to to understand this. Now, I want you to place the politician pay package next to that reality. Place it next to that reality. A deputy minister is earning 80,000 a month. A deputy minister is earning 8,000 a month in a country where most workers survive on under 5,000. So a deputy minister is earning 80,000 and most ordinary workers, most ordinary workers survive under 5,000. You see that that unequal distribution of our, you know, that's a gap of 16 times. It's a gap of 16 times. And a cabinet minister earns roughly 25 times what a lowest grade civil servant takes home. Okay? 25 times what the lowest grade civil servant takes home. The president package, well, about 40 times. Okay? About 40 times more. So we have a group of elite up there. Okay? A small group of, you know, of elite. And as I said, that doesn't require, you know, let me say that again for you, my friend. Okay? So that it should really get into our head. 40 times. The person cleaning the ministry, let's put them in the same room. The person cleaning the ministry floor every night in roughly 3,640 a month. Okay? So because there's the minimum, that's the minimum wage. Okay? 364 a month. That's if it's actually get a minimum wage. A person cleaning the ministry floor every night earns roughly 3,000 a month, 3,640 a month. Okay? The person sitting in the corner of the office earns up to 146,000. Yeah? In where this person who's actually cleaning the office actually works. So now the person now sitting in the office, 146 a month. Same government, same employer, vastly different realities. You see that? You see that disparity? Do you get it? And if you're a lawmaker listening, if you're a minister, if you're, you know, an official, whatever, you know, deputy minister or director or MP, member of parliament, if you're listening, do you see the gap? Absolutely massive. There's a vast different realities, completely end to end. Now let me bring in other issues. Okay? Just bring in this context. Okay? To broaden the context. Now, then there are teachers. Okay? Because you cannot talk about politician pay without, you know, we can't talk politician this package without actually talking about the people who have been fighting. Okay? Who have been fighting, begging, and striking for a living wage. Our teachers have been striking. Some of them were actually striking that they are qualified and they are sitting at home. Yeah? And actually, the teachers, some of the teachers are actually qualified than some of these politicians. No, seriously. Some politicians have nada, nothing, nada. They're sitting now in the parliament, they're sleeping. Yeah? Since they actually came in the parliament, they never even utter a word. I can mention some people that haven't uttered a word. Eh? Oh, well, maybe you could say just because they are not shown on TV doesn't mean they didn't talk. Well, that's a point. All right. So, but there are. We haven't even uttered a word in parliament. Eh? And a teacher is more qualified than them. And do you know what they get? Eh? Do you know what they get? The teacher is getting 79,000 a year. Eh? And while a PM, you know, a member of parliament is getting 100 and certain something, you know, 1,000 a year, 1 point something, a million, 1.3 million. Eh? So, and as we speak right now, our teachers, the people raising the future of this country, are still out there advocating for better wages. They're still out there advocating for that. They are told, you know what they are told? And this is the most painful things. They are told the physical space is tight, okay? The financial situation in the country is very tight. They are told we must exercise restraint. You know, that's what we are told. But when it comes to the POBs, you know, the public office bearers, the money is found. It's the same thing when we're talking about that 26, the Vision 26, the Vision 26 of that Ministry of Health. Money was found quickly to repair and, you know, improve and renovate, you know, hospitals that where these people are going to actually get the service. It was found quickly. Yeah. But when it comes to ordinary people, there's no money. The money was found. We can't find money for the teachers, but for the POBs, money was found. The average Namibian teacher earns about 154,000 per year. The lowest paid teacher earns as little as 79,000 annually. Now, in the 2026-2027 budget, government offered a civil servant a 5% salary increase. A 5%. Okay? Sound reasonable? Now, here's the catch. Okay? Here is the catch. For the teachers on the lowest grade, that 5% works out to a fixed increment of just 700 per month. 700 per month. That 700, not even enough to fill actually a trolley at the supermarket. Yeah? It's not even enough. So the teachers' union of Namibia called it meaningless. They said, well, this is meaningless. In March 2026, they organized a nationwide work pause to protest. So there were, you know, the teachers have three separate unions. And both of them, and all of them, actually reject the 5% offer outright. Outright, they said, well, nope, this is meaningless, calling it an insult. And some union even threatened a legal action. So the Namibia teacher, you know, NANTU, the Namibia National Teachers Union, did accept the deal eventually. But that split among unions, the split that you see in among, it tells you everything about how workers feel. Hmm? It tells you how actually the workers feel. Now, contrast that with now politician payment, the pay packages. Now, contrast that with the politician. The 58 million set aside in the 26-27 budget specifically, you know, for improving politician salaries and benefits. That is for a few hundred of office bearers. We're talking about just a few hundred office bearers. I'm not too sure how we see this as Namibians, seriously. Hmm? So, you remember, there is a 1.7 billion allocated for the entire civil service salary enhancement. That's for roughly 119,000 public servant. If you do the math, the per person spent on politician dwarf what goes to ordinary civil servant. And ask yourself, if a 5% increase is what the country can afford for teachers, how can the same country afford 50. They said, this is what they, how can the same country actually afford 58? 58 million extra for politicians. Where does that money come from? And more importantly, what does it say about who matters, who actually matter in the eye of this government? Who matters? That's up to you. That's up for you to decide. That's up for you to, you know, really to think about. Okay? And I always tell you, I always tell you, follow the money. Follow the money. Okay? If you want to know the truth, follow the money. Follow the numbers. So let's talk about budget. Okay? The total national budget of 2026-2027 stands at 104 billion. 104 billion. Now, the operational budget, that is the day-to-day running cost, is 81.3 billion. 81.3 billion. Up from 80.6 billion the year before. Not a massive jump, but every dollar counts. Every dollar counts. So it's not a massive jump, but, you know, in a country like Namibia, every dollar counts. All right? So, now here's the problem. Okay? Oh, maybe not to you. But here's the problem. The public sector wage bill already consumed roughly 35.9% of the total budget. 35.9. Okay? So, and that is 35, and if you put that in dollars, it's 35.4 billion. And it's climbing. Yeah? That's why we're going to talk into we're going to talk about in the public commission, you know? So, and it's climbing. Even President Nandi Natumu, in her sauna, she said she has called this wage bill unsustainable. You remember? In her sauna, she called this as unsustainable. Now, her own government, her own administration, target is actually to bring it down to 35%. Remember that. Her administration is bringing down to 35%. Now, so let me get this straight now. So, the wage bill is too high. It is unsustainable. The president say this because that's what she said, okay? That's what the president said. She said that herself. But we are increasingly, increasing the politician pay. I really want to know how that works. Now, you know, you are saying, you know, the wage bill is too high, it's unsustainable. And at the same time, we are actually increasing the politician pay. How does that work, really? How does that work? Make me understand that. Make me understand that. And then there's an issue of the seven new deputies. I'm not going to leave that alone. Okay? The seven new deputy ministers appointed by the president recently, each of those earn roughly 780,000 per year. Now, that's nearly 5.5 million in a salary alone for seven positions. So, when they were appointed, analysts have already questioned, there were analysts who questioned whether these roles, you know, duplicate existing ones and inflated government costs unnecessarily. And we can come to think about that now. But also, you also have to give the president credit, I think. You know, the president did trim the number of ministry. If you look at the previous ministry that we have about 21. Now we have about How many minutes did we have? We have, I think it was 14. Okay, I think we have 14. No, it's 14. So, yeah, credit where it's due. You know, we also have trimmed the number of ministries from 21 to 14. Okay, open to correction. Yeah, 14. And that's a positive thing. That's a positive step, you know. But adding deputy ministers while the wage bill is already in the danger, you know, zone, in a red zone, it send a mixed. It also send the mixed signals, you know. It does send a mixed signal. So, I want you to think about something, okay? The national minimum wage is 18 per hour. That's about 3,600 a month for a full-time worker. All right? A deputy minister earned that in an about a day and a half. And a cabinet minister earned that before lunch on the first working day of the month. Now, if you calculate, you know. So, a minimum wage, someone now who works full-time, is actually getting at the end of the month, they're getting a 3,600. So, but a deputy minister earned that about a day and a half. They already earned that. And the cabinet minister, as I said, before lunch, on her first working day of the month, already earned that. And no wonder, you know. And that's her life. So you see the difference. So you see the difference. Ngototo wange momoshike me rakamo. Back when you have no matrolye yati, they have all the trolleys full to the capacity. The trolley is really full. And you look at the things that are there, you know, the type of food and, you know. But in your trolley, you don't even have the bigger trolley. You know, those bigger one and those, you even have a smaller one in your own, but they get back. And you have only one item there. you have only one item in your trolley. One or two item. But in kwenye kune trolley, now you can see, kune toma trolley nyata undura. Full. You look at the things that you just dream about, you know. When you look at the things that are in them, you know, the things that you just dream about. You see the difference. So is this the kind of society we really want to build? Now, seriously. A society where people at the top live a completely different economic universe from the people at the bottom. Is that what we want? Is that the society we want to build? That's a reality of our society. And that's what makes us the number two or number one now, I don't know, unequal society. It's right there. It's right in our face. And we continue doing that. We continue doing that. Okay, let's also be fair. Okay, let's be fair. There's another side to this. Okay. The proclamation does standardize salaries and benefits across the government. Okay. That also matter. It does matter. Because it standardizes, you know, the whole salary and benefit. So, because previously different office bearers had different, you know, sometimes inconsistent packages. So a unified framework brings transparency, and you could argue that, you know, it's also to attract a competent people into public service. You need a competitive remuneration. All right. If you want qualified people in the public service, you also need that competitive, you know, remuneration. So, and that's a valid point. Okay, but when you're talking about now, politicians and what? Well, they are not chosen based on, well, in their party, you would say, the list pot, you know, it's not based on, you know, on the qualifications. It's based on other criteria. Okay? As I said, that's a valid point. Now, but here's where the argument actually fall apart. Eh? When you standardize salaries upward, while the people actually at the bottom of the public service ladder are struggling, you are not fixing the system. You are not fixing the system. You are widening the gap. As we can see, years after years, we will, you know, the gap is getting bigger and bigger. You are making the inequality worse, not better. As you can see, you're making inequality more worse than actually better. Yeah. It's not about people anymore. It's that opportunity. It's opportunity of employment. And that's why there was, as I said, no debate in the parliament about this. There was no a public consultation about this. It was just signed. No argument, no anything. All right, so, and also, put also this in the same context. I want you to put this also in the same context. The president promised to increase pension grant to 3,000 per month. Do you remember that? That promise remained unfulfilled. Our elderly citizens, who built this country, are still waiting. And these are the people now, when we talk about the elderly people, these are the people who are even now taking care of the unemployed youth that are sitting in their homes. Okay? So, but the politician got their increase. They got their increase already backdated the 1st of April. No waiting, no delays. But our elderly have to wait. You guys, You have to wait. That's exactly what it is.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Mike. How are you?
I'm not well today, man.
No. Not even in the... You know, when you think about it, these things are one of the microwaves. There's so much.
Yeah.
They have some cramps.
Yeah,
no, that is because I'm telling, definitely if you look the way we are, and you look at our country, the way we have even no medicine in the hospital,
yeah,
where we are having only additional 100. You remember when you are complaining about why even 100? Maybe it was better not to add, then you can just add them later,
yeah,
all together. 100. And remember one thing that I don't know what we do, man. Sometimes and this is what you remember the other time we were complaining. I said, no, they are congratulating here to Eli.
Yeah.
They are even comparing here to Abraham Traore. But she just blow up. You see now.
Yeah.
This is a thing which I'm saying, sometimes the politicians, the way they do things, it's very questionable. The problem with our Namibian people is that some of them, they tell you, no, I'm not even interested in politics.
Yeah.
But if you are not interested in politics, they will deal with you.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And this is how we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of males, we don't care.
Mm.
Whatever they do is their own problem. As long as I'm waking up, going to work, come back, and later on, you are the one who are complaining. Because some of these things, it make other countries to demonstrate the whole country. Not only the teacher who have to negotiate for their salary.
Yeah.
It's the whole, you and me, it's about our money.
Can you imagine? Sometimes, really, I think, do people lose the common sense? Sometimes you're kind of asking, do people actually lose the common sense? You know, where you're thinking, you know, even yourself as a parliamentarian, as a minister or something, everything you do it on a state, you do it on a government. You know, you travel on the government, you sleep on the government, you live in the house of the government, you everything.
Everything.
And on top of that, and again. Now, on top of that, for the rest of the time that you are actually working for the government, you actually the government is taking care of you and giving you a salary as well. Eh?
I'm telling you.
And on top of that, you still think, no, I'm not well compensated.
Yeah, you need the additional one.
I need more money. Can you imagine? Seriously?
and on top of that, if you look at your budget cut, how much is getting? The person taking care of you. Huh? Yeah. A cleaner who's cleaning in your house.
Yeah.
A security guard who's at the door opening and in the rain.
The
like
gap,
now, it's raining in window.
The inequality that we're talking about, and we continue increasing that.
And that's why we are number one. Huh? You know, one thing that we are second, it's a lie. We are number one because this is a province of South Africa.
Yeah.
Whether we like it or not, we are in together. And the thing is, my friend, when you look at the situation where we are, we have a lot of cries, which got nothing to do with us when we are talking about the oil going up. Industry. And now, on top of that, you are increasing. Why? Sometimes that's why I'm asking you, is this leader tired of the peace or what? But the problem with Namibia, we never act. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they put us too much on the corner where you can say, you can just stand up and say, no, enough is enough.
Yeah. No, there will become a time when they will say, enough is enough.
No, Namibia, you put Namibia people who can put your finger in his mouth. It will come out without you getting any biting.
Believe me, it will come out. Maybe not in your time, but
no,
as the time goes on.
The time going like this.
You know, many youth that are sitting at home, you know, if someone organized them, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
It will come out. Believe me,
it
can just explode like that without, you know, and that's the comfort that we have. We think that, we whatever who we are, we think we are. We think
it's what
that
I'm
we have
saying,
everything in control.
When you look at the Namibia and then you do the same comparison, what happened to Thailand, is it Thailand or Bangkok? Yeah, I think Thailand.
Yeah.
Where the president even started hiring, is what? It's in son-in-law and so on. This is what is happening in Namibia. Because remember one thing, that first of all, why you have to take care of yourself? Well, you know, you have a lot of access, free everything.
Yeah.
Everything. You are talking about transport, you don't pay. You are talking about even the clothing, you've been clothed by the government.
Yeah, entertainment allowance, you know.
Yeah, all those.
You know, these are kings. Yeah, in our context, they are king.
They are.
As
because
I said,
they don't pay anything.
When you go into the shop, when you meet them in the shop, oh no, kai makenya kashonake, wagonyo no mambaba. You know?
Yeah, the problem I am like, the problem which I want to conclude is that we have this tendency of like, as long as me I'm benefiting, me I don't care.
Yeah.
But if you look, even the minister who are doing well in Namibia, it's only, you can count them. It's only like three of them.
Yeah.
You are talking about the minister, Sangwasa, you talk about Nekundi, you talk about this.
Actually,
the lady with the hospital. She's really doing a bit like, even the way she's making clinics to be 24 hours open.
Yeah.
Which is, you can see that somebody's doing something. Even the medicine are not there. Just a little bit of improvement. Because a lot of long,
yeah, but
queue
that's the system she found in, and she's trying to clean up. Yeah,
exactly.
You know? Yeah,
yeah. And now to add on that, my friend, then you look at where we are. We are talking about even like can basically necessity like the water and electricity.
Yeah.
And the prime minister can't pay them himself.
The prime minister can't pay that, the government have to pay for him. Can you imagine? See now.
Just imagine. And you are here or questioning the what the poor ladies, I mean the elderly people.
Yeah. House. They the 500 yeah? they haven't paid that 500 you cut off their electricity.
Electricity. Yeah. Man, Mike, I tell you, sometimes the way we do things is that you cannot understand it even.
Yeah.
Because this is too much. It's kind of like, you cannot even call it like the way you are, way apartheid was operating. This is more than that.
Yeah.
Seriously. Because look, Mike, even last time I was asking, like, no, we have SOAs with the support to create employment for, on behalf of the government.
Yeah.
But if you look, Nam water, Nam power. Their services are needed everywhere. But they're not, even employ people like 500 in annual base. And you wonder, what they are doing?
Yeah.
Unless if it water, it was everywhere, then you can say, yes, they don't need people. But here, if you look at their salary, those CEO are getting, it's the same thing which we are saying, the politicians are enjoying their benefits, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really concerned, my friend, man. When we look at Namibia, then the way we are heading, and we are talking about the gap between rich and poor is widening, but we're still doing it.
We're still actually doing it.
Exactly. Let me give other people a chance.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through. Yeah?
All right, man.
All right. All right. 08333-66091 if you want to come through. 08333-66091. So please do come through if you want to, you know. Yeah. The thing is this, really. If there were certain, it should have been performance. This increment actually should have been performance. You know, then we can talk about the Sangwasa of this world, maybe the Nekundis and whatever. You know, as I said, some people don't deserve this increase. What do they do? Even the whole parliament, eh? How many bills that they have passed? What have they achieved? You know, especially this new parliament, what have they achieved? The only bill that they have passed is the appropriation bills. That's the only bill that they have passed. Up to now, there hasn't any bill that they have passed. What have they done to deserve this increase? Yeah. There are some ministers, as I said, maybe the Sangwasas of this world and the Nekundis, some of the ministers that we can see the difference they're making, we can touch and smell it and, you know, and lick it. You know, we can lick the difference that they are, even if it's on a small pace, we can see the difference that they are making. But some of the ministers and MPs, what do they do? Absolutely zero. And you get all this money? Come on, Namibia, seriously. And what is our standard of, I might not put this right, what is our standard of grading, where we now to say, you know, this people or this group of people worth this much money? Based on what? It's based on what? Even when it comes to SOEs, is it based on what that we now, you know, pay? Given, sometimes we don't understand even, the president was talking about the other time that we are not a developed country. All right? We are not a developed country, but the way we pay our people, the way we pay ourselves, is even more than the developed country. Yeah? It's based on what? What is, give me the grading. So, and I was putting, and I was also talking about that we have also to put this in the context. Right? In the same context, the president promised to increase pension grant to 3,000 per month.
And that promise is still unfulfilled. Our adult citizens, they are still waiting. So, and we have the politician who are actually getting their increase here. And it's even backdated to April. No waiting, nothing. No delays, just like that. What does that message, what message that they sent, really? What message? What message are you sending? What does it tell a pensioner in Katutura? Or a teacher in Otapi or anywhere, in Opuo or anywhere? What message are you sending to these people? A cleaner in Gobabis? What message are we sending about their place in this country's priority? That's basically what is your priority? What is your place in this country's priority? What message are you sending to us? Now, before you come in, and you are most welcome to come in, let me also ask you some questions that maybe we, as you come in, you know, I want to put some questions to you. So because this is not just my conversation, this is your conversation. So is it acceptable for a politician to approve their own? I'm thinking of this now. Okay, would it be acceptable that politician actually approve their own pay increase? So they approve their own increases while civil servants actually are told to make do with, you know, do with craps. Do with these craps, you know. But they are approving their, there must be a body. There should be an independent body. And if you are a lawmaker, please, and you're listening to me, there must be an independent body, true independent, that decide politician remuneration. The politician can't actually. That's why it is never debated in the parliament. It was never public consultation. It was just signed. So there must be a true independent that decide politician remuneration rather than a commission whose recommendations are simply signed off by the president. I think so. I definitely think that that has to happen. I cannot, like imagine I'm working for let's say I'm a manager or whatever, CEO, then I decided, okay, I'm going to increase. The board have to decide. As someone independent for myself, I have to decide, not myself. I think that's just not right. And that's why it just went on like that. Now, when the president called the wage bill unsustainable, the president also said the wage bill is unsustainable, but then approve higher pay for politician. What is that? Is that leadership or is that double speak? When you talk about double speak, can you condemn overspending while at the same time increasing spending on yourself? And when I'm saying yourself, I'm meaning to the politicians. To that group of elite. That's a double speak. So, and also, one have to think, when you look at that gap, what should be the ratio between the highest paid and the lowest paid public servant? What should be the, you know, the ratio? 25 to 1? 40 to 1? Is there a point where the gap becomes morally indefensible, where you said, no, from what we're looking at, that's morally indefensible. Morally indefensible, regardless of what the market says. It's morally indefensible. What should be the ratio? We see 40 to 1. Seriously. From the highest paid to the lowest paid public servant in this by the same employer. So, and if we truly, and the other issue I'm taking up is taking up the issue with the teachers. If you truly cannot afford to pay teachers a living wage, Can we truly afford 58 million extra for politicians? Follow the money, I told you. It never lies. It never lies. So now, let's be honest here. I think being a leader is hard, okay? It's hard work. We're not diminishing the work they do. You know, it's hard work. Eh? And we want our leader to be comfortable so that they are not attempted to by corruption, all right? So that's also part of that. Yeah, we said well compensated, but actually it's not about well compensated, but, you know, look where we are. Look your context. Yeah? And that's logic. I mean, that's logic, all right? Yeah. But there's also something, okay? There's also something called public perception. You understand? There's also something called public perceptions. So when you increase the housing allowance, for a minister to cover to over 273, while the average Namibian cannot even get a plot in Windhoek, you increase their house allowance, but an ordinary person cannot even get a plot. You are sending a message. You are sending a message. You are saying that the public office bearer are in a different class of citizen. Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah. That's what you're saying. So the government says these adjustments are based on recommendation from the commission. But remember, the president has the final say. The president chose to sign this now. He chose to sign this now. Even if it's a recommendation from the commission. Now, maybe one have to ask, is this a reward? Is the reward to loyalty, or is it a genuine need? Is this a genuine need for the politician? You decide. Eh? Is this a genuine need for the politician? While we have other pressing issues that are going on. Come through. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So that's what happened to you, Namibian. You get just, you know, comfortable. You just get comfortable. Other people eating, you know, as I said, people get comfort. We get comfortable being poor, that we don't mind other being rich on your expenses. You understand? Right? So the same thing. So come through, talk about it. That's why you're not even coming through and talk about it. It's because you say, it's okay, what can I do? Yeah? All right. So, get to me. What is your reaction?
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about it.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Migo.
Good morning, and how are you?
I'm fine.
Are you happy with the package?
Oh, I'm not happy. You see, but we said 65% of the inbred people are just earning less than 3,000 a month.
Yeah.
Then imagine the other.
That means it's a half of a population that is working, you know, is earning less than 5,000. And this is just a small group of 300 people. Eh?
Imagine. This, I don't know. I don't know. What can we do with the people? And then I don't know. Now the information like that, what is in the public? And then. Really, so far we never changed. No change at all. Still, we are continuing bringing back those people are doing this to us. Those who are misbehaving in public eyes and everybody is just doing like that. Disrespect. Those people are not even respectful for where they are from.
You know, when a person does something to you, let's say for example, if someone does something to you and you never reacted, they will do that again. You know?
Exactly.
They will do that. Because we are too timid as Namibian. We let things happen. And maybe we think that's the way. That's what I'm saying. People get comfortable being poor and they don't care. They don't even mind other people eating in front of them.
therefore I said, if you go around even in the location they are during the campaign, where you see a big flag, politician flag,
yeah,
just on the shack. Even if every corner is a flag, that shack. But if you go in town, you won't even get even a small piece of political party flag.
Yeah.
Imagine. This person is just under that. He don't have land. He don't have the place where to... That place where he hang a flag, he's living there illegally.
Yeah.
Then there, I don't know. How could you understand the life of that person who is just like that? Tomorrow, election, and then there you celebrate things like what you are living. The way you are living, it means that you are okay with that situation you are living.
Mm. Yeah.
That is where I don't understand.
Yeah, and the whole when I was trying actually to paint the context in discussing this, that look, this is happening in this context where we have many young people are unemployed, sitting at home unemployed, qualified unemployed. We have a hospital without medicine. We have old people who were promised 3,000, which is not given. We have teachers, you know, who are asking, and not only teachers, many other civil servants that they want, that require increase in their salary. So there's much context. There's so many things. And then they still actually give themselves this much, you know, billions. Eh?
Yeah, imagine even those graduates who are, most especially those teachers who are just learning all over the country, learning for one.
Yeah.
One opportunity there, one just one... job opportunity at a certain school across the country, learning all of us. Then you borrow money from somebody, you travel. And this 500 people for one place, or for one position, for one vacancy, or for two, I don't know.
That's even less. It's, you talk about thousands and thousands of people, you know?
They don't care. They don't get the money wasted in transport. It's just running up and down like that. They never even change. Always they are in the parliament. But they see things. People are crying.
Yeah.
They don't worry. They don't worry. That's what we come up with. Say. They said it's say. It is because what some people they complain about that. They think it's say. Now all of us, it's normal.
Yeah.
Now it is to become a normal to run all up and down like this.
Yeah.
That's smaller amount of money which are received by elderly people. Now they are paying for transport those graduates to run for interviews.
Yeah.
Mm. And then they are quiet. They think it's okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. This I don't understand.
Yeah.
Really. We are just like nobody's business. We sing, we said no, we not job by what is now. Work is not a business that's not like that usually, but what we are doing is the same.
Yeah, that's exactly.
We are living in the same situation since we got independence after 36 years.
Actually, even worse.
It's more than worse, even.
Yeah.
More than worse. Wow. Therefore, today we don't know what the situation is. Imagine this. We don't understand. Really. I don't know. Maybe these people should also come and listen to the radio so that people, how they do.
They do. They do listen.
Screaming.
Yeah, they do listen. Yeah.
People are screaming, but you never care. You are not worried about the screaming of people.
Mm-hmm.
Screaming loud. If you go around, destination is there, village is there, you see how the poverty you can see it with your own eyes. People are suffering.
Yeah.
But people who call our leaders are just sitting around every day, morning, every morning, every working day they are having a meeting. We don't know what they are, what is the discussion of that meeting of every day.
Yeah.
They finish the whole 360 days of the year, nothing has been done.
Yeah.
For the suffering nation.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Huh? These people, they are having heart. They have brain and heart, really.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for coming through, man. Where are you calling? Where are you calling from? When I know where you're calling from. Yeah. So really, before you actually asking even for increase, wouldn't you show kind of like, if currently are we saying our country is in a better state of it's in a better economic state?
Imba ya rire ombwa nai etetwa weather ko ombuni kiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no matha ko murungu wa indu werirongere kusha umune ondengu okura ko imba ona ovyu nevya peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe to pwika ovinki nokukara norupa ondando ya peke yokuyanja oshimariva o peresente dano komyeve vitatu moshimariva o peresente umurongo komyeve hambu umwe moshimariva o peresente mirongo ivari na dano Kwenyeve mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu, jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyamu kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye uha kainina. Itako na wina rishangitha jinoni.
Alright, welcome back. So, you know, I was just asking, what have you... Are we in the best position of service delivery? Yeah. So as I said, well, there are ministers probably that you can say. Well, yeah. If I was the person, I said, well, show me what you have done. Yeah. I actually have given a task. Like I know this is what you need to achieve. Have they achieved, individual minister and prime minister and all this? Have they achieved? Eh? Have they achieved what they needed to achieve? Oh, on what basis you are now increasing their package? Have they performed to say, well, you have done, because, you know, that increasing the package should be able to say, well, you have done a great job. You have done really a great job. We see this has improved. You have done a good job, you know. As I said, there are ministers, some of them, that are actually doing some great work. Small pace, slow pace, but still a difference, you see. Yeah? Maybe those are the one. If I were the president, I would say, okay, I'll give this one. The rest of you must wait. Perform test. Yeah? So, and I would say, I see some of you in the parliament that you are sleeping. What have you contributed to the well-being, to the growth of this country, to the debate and, you know, and policy making of this country? You wait, do that, and then I will think about it, just like anybody else. Yeah, just to go through quickly, just wrapping up this for you. Here is what you need actually to remember from this segment that we have unpacked this morning. So the president Netumbonani Daitwa approved a new pay package, you know, that give the prime minister a total remuneration of 1.65 million, you know, cabinet minister about 1.34 million, and even ordinary MPs nearly 879,000 a year, free utilities, including for top positions. Eh? No water, you don't pay water, you don't pay electricity. Can you imagine? So these people sit in the room and think, okay, I think that's a good idea, okay? To really, with all the privilege these people have already, and then, eh? I cannot...
maybe I'm the one, you know, sometimes you ask yourself, am I all right in my head? Eh? I mean, you're looking at what is happening. You know, you're looking at what's happening in the country. What makes you deserve that, really? What do you think? We have people sitting at home. A lot and massive young people actually sitting at home. And you think, I deserve more than, you know, more than them. People who have no job at all, you think you deserve more. Eh? Our priorities are misplaced, are really misplaced. So, all right, the other thing, this also comes while, as I said, teachers and are fighting for a meaningful wage increase. The 5% offer means just 700 extra per month for the lowest paid educators. You know, union have called it meaningless and they have taken it to the street. So the public wage bill already eats up 35%, 35.9% of the national budget. So the president herself has called it unsustainable, yet politician pay is going up and not down. Eh? So, and Namibia remain one of, and that's something that you have to understand, and you can see it right there. Namibia is one of the most unequal countries in the world, on planet, not just in the world, on planet Earth. Okay, in the universe, let's put it there. So, in the universe. Yeah. So, with our Gini coefficient of 0.59, okay, and imagine 55.4% of workers earning under 5,000 a month. And unemployment is at 36.9, depending on which measurement you use. Yeah? That's the situation, my friend. That's the situation. Then the 58 million, this is now earmarked for politician payment improvement. It could have been, you know, that money could have been directed towards fulfilling the pension grant promise. Yeah? It could have been, you know, increasing the minimum wage faster. That could have been actually used to increase the minimum wage faster or reducing class size in our schools. That 58 million. And who do we give it to? To people who have already the privileges. Who have already the privileges of our country, of our, you know. Sometimes I even run out of words. All right. So the bottom line is this, okay? A government budget is a moral document, people. It is a moral document. It shows you in a black and white what matters and what doesn't matter. And right now, the document is speaking very loudly indeed. It's speaking very loudly. It's for yourself to see. Eh? It's for yourself to see. 0833-66091 is the number you can call to add your voice, to add your opinion.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana nongeshifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira Selma, onarahita tuimwe. datundatu heari hamano tano oniari Eagle FM.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right. Very good morning to you. And welcome. Our time is about 39 minutes past the hour of 9. We are here until the hour of 10 o'clock when we'll be handing over to Mbarangaja, who is coming, will be coming with Kwetha Mosha. Very good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Uncle Bona. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Wonderful. Yesterday, actually, I think I missed calling.
You missed?
And when you were now talking about those proverbs and the historical perspective.
Yeah.
And we came to mention about the Zambian team, national team.
Yeah.
That died, those few players. Yeah, during that time, it was very traumatizing. Then when you reminded us on remembrance of those people, it was very painful, actually.
Of course. I mean, the whole team, the whole plane crashed. And nobody survived. Yeah, it was painful. Yeah, for the nation as well.
So those are the time of the Karusa Bwanya.
Yeah.
For him, I think he did not travel with him.
Yeah, no, he didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it was really. And this time, you know, Zambia was, when it comes to soccer sports, especially soccer now, it was a
football house at that time, yeah.
Exactly. So, those are happening actually historically. They remind us, and also it's good to remember them and salute them.
Yeah.
So, but the issue of today now, and how the money is apportioned to those activities, I don't know. The package for politicians.
Yeah.
Because actually, I don't know. Because these are actually people who are also now maybe driving the policies and programming and all these things for through those various institutions and things like that. So Is the package now not reasonable enough?
I think there's nothing wrong with an increase. To have an increase, but you have to understand where we are at the point. You know, we kind of like we're looking at.
Okay.
Can you hear me? Are you
yes,
still there?
Yeah.
Now I said anyone can have an increase, definitely, but we're looking at where we are at the moment. You know, where unemployment is quite higher. You know, we have a lot of other pressing issues, you know, in the country at this point in time. It's actually the timing and also given where we are at this point in time. So it's just not appropriate, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you are right. So it's true, those challenges are legitimate enough and good. But maybe it's not proportional to other increases. Maybe they are still there. It's more, their increases is a bit higher.
It's too higher. It's too higher.
To
no, it's too. It's too higher. It's too higher, Uncle Bwana. It's too higher. You know. So where you have the teacher, where they said the teacher were even asking about 10 or 15, and they tell we don't have money, and then all of a sudden, it's easy to do it with 100 people, with 300 people, it's easy to do that, but with a larger group, it's a lot of money. But still, you as a leader, you have to think, let me,
Maybe the demand, the role of leadership and management issues, and I don't know
how
they can really justify, but I know the challenge of unemployment, maybe school dropouts, and all these issue areas, they need to be urgently taken care of.
Exactly.
But, obviously, because if you look at some of these things, and you know, I did not know really well, because of this, like a veteran getting a 2,000. What is 2,000? It just scope on my mind. I think maybe we are just so much special enough and all these things, and we know. Somebody, when one of those leaders who proposed that thing, when it was sounding, one could sound, it's not unrealistic.
Yeah.
But when you look at what the person is getting, honestly speaking, what can you buy from a 2,000?
Yeah.
A veteran, if it's a veteran kind of, what can you buy from 2,000? It's nothing.
Yeah.
So maybe if you look at the proportion and they are reasonable ground enough to increase those things and do that thing, fine. But let's be attend to some of these challenging ones, like that in Roma says. So you need to tighten your belt.
Yeah.
And then so that the young ones can be able to feed.
Exactly. So they themselves, they must tighten the belt so that the young one can eat, you know?
Yeah. I think that principle can also apply to make sure that you don't
bring
a bread to the vulnerable one.
Exactly. Yeah.
So thank you very much, Mike, for the opportunity.
All right. No, thanks for coming through,
Good.
All right. 08-666-091, 08-666-091. So come through. Yeah, what do you think? What is your saying? What is your point on the politicians' package? Yeah, that has just improved. All right. While other civil servants still actually, you know, looking up. They are looking up. And many young people actually sitting at home, losing hope of any chance of employment. And older people, elderly people who is actually, you know, feeding everybody with 1.7, you know. So I think it's just, as I said, for me, I have no problem with anybody. You know, everybody deserve an increase, you know. Life cost of living is quite, you know, but here we're talking about somebody, you have much of the privilege already. Think of others. Eh? Think of others. What make you deserve that? Eh? I would go for individual. Okay, you deserve that, you know, because you did this, you have achieved this and this and this. Not just a blanket for everybody. All right. Okay, what's our time now? 47 minutes past the hour of 9. We're talking about we're getting to the news, the second stories that we have for you. The Public Service Commission, which is actually chaired. He was just recently appointed, you know, Mr. Patrick Nandago. Tabled its 2024-2025 annual report yesterday. Was it yesterday or day before yesterday in Windhoek? So, and the numbers, my friends, the numbers tell the story. Keep telling you, you know, learn to understand the numbers. The numbers tell the stories. The story about a government that keep growing. When I'm talking growing, I'm talking about in terms of wage bill. You know, the wage bill is climbing towards 37.1 billion. And the questions, seriously questions, about this question, about who is
who is being hired, who is being hired, and who is being fired, and who is being, you know, promoted. So, yeah. Now, so let's look at the this growing giant that we're looking at, that we are facing. In 2023, it is 2023. When you look at 2023, the government has about 110. Let's quickly get to the caller. Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Mike, sorry. I wanted to conclude with that point, actually.
Which point?
The one, for the one from the commission, Tatenandao.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one is, because when you look at it, because in terms of the really complaint and the cases that are really dragging on, at many institutions, especially in terms of misconduct and all these other things.
Yeah.
Those unfair dismissal. That's why people are suggesting that there must be this kind of, because the arbitration process.
Yeah.
The cases are still pending.
Yeah, there's a lot of cases that are still pending, yeah. Mm.
So those are the really one. And because the problem is that also the unskilled, the capacity, especially when it comes to these arbitration issues and other things. So maybe there must be some real system to sustain and retain some of those critical skills where you have, so that they can impact on those ones that are coming up.
Mm.
So, and then as well, they are organizing themselves. There are a lot of cases and a lot of challenges. Mm. And those ones, we can also deal with them, you know,
yeah,
to organize themselves properly.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. 2023. Government has about 110,000 employees on its payroll. Fast forward just 12 months, one financial year, and that number has jumped to 114,304. So that is 4,302 new faces clocking in and drawing salaries and claiming benefits. So, yeah. So a 3.9% growth rate in 1 year. So if you're looking at that. So, and now listen, I'm not here actually to say growth is bad. I'm not. So when it comes, these are people actually getting employment. So growth is not bad. Government must function. You know, government must function. Hospital need nurses. You know, schools need teachers. Police station need officers. Yeah, Ekfistan. So, but as here's the question I want you to think about, okay? So now, is our government growing because Namibians are getting more services? Is it because are we getting more services? Eh? Are we growing because we are getting more services, or is this now the wage bill is growing just because, you know, or the government is growing just because it can, eh? Because it can. And when you're just growing it because it can, then you have a problem. That's where now you have the issue. So, while we added those 4,302 employees, and I think it's more than that because that only ended up in 2025 is not included yet. So the wage bill hit $35.4 billion for staff compensation alone. Now, and Treasury is telling us, brace yourself that figure climbs to 36.3 billion Namibian dollar next year, and 37.1 billion the year after that. So that was the Treasury is telling you, that brace yourself because it's going to increase. So let me put that in perspective, okay, for you. Now, 37.1 billion Well, when you think about that, which country I can think? Because that is that bigger. That's actually sometimes bigger than actually the entire economies of some small nations. You know, seriously. That's roughly, you're talking about 15,000 every second of every working day going to public service salaries. So I ask you this. What service are you receiving that justifies this bill? That's why I'm asking, is our government growing because Namibians are getting more services? Eh? So what services are you receiving that justify this bill? When last time did you walk into a government office and walk out smiling? It hasn't happened to me for quite a while now. So when was the last time you walk in the government office and when you walk out there, you are actually smiling? When was the last time? Maybe that's a question that you can come through and talk to me. When was the last time you walk in a government office and walk out smiling? Okay, come through. 08333-66091. So tell me. So, all right. So the commission report tell us something. We should actually celebrate as well. Something we should maybe we should also question. On the other hand, so the good news that women now make up 54% of the public service. 54%. Okay, so that's 521,528 women holding it together, holding it down across the ministries, agencies, regional councils. You know, our sisters are showing up. Okay? They are showing up. Now, that's a good news. But, and there's always a but. Now, but in this story, when you climb the ladder to management level, I think the picture changes completely. Okay? Not too bad, but, you know, there still needs a lot to be done. Out of 1,296 management position, you know, only about 533 are held by women. Okay, that's about 41%. Okay, if my calculation is not bad. Okay, 41%. It's about 41. That's not bad. Okay, then the men, they take the 59% of the top jobs. Well, it was a men's world after all, but in Namibia we see that is actually changing. And which is actually changing for the good. So, yeah, that's what we want. Now, the question is, because when we talk about the women are now the majority of the workforce, why are they the minority in the boardroom? Eh? There are a lot of aspects that are involved. It could be a whole question of us, qualification. It could be the whole question of, there are so many other things as well. So we shouldn't look at that narrowly. Just because of gender or something. So they need some proper, you know, analyzing, you know, and also studies to understand that, okay? So now the commission itself admit, and I'm paraphrasing here, that affirmative action at the senior level is still a challenge. And I don't want, for me, I don't want that affirmative anymore. I want that you take the very best. It doesn't matter who they are, whether they are a woman or a man. Okay? Take the very best. Eh? It's about, for me, it's not affirmation anymore, affirmative anymore. Okay? But the commission have pledged to do better, but how many years or how many reports and how many pledges have we heard in terms of that anyway? So in terms of that, it's coming a long way. But there has an improvement that we also have to acknowledge. So mothers, daughters, sisters listening right now, so, you know, you are the one who run actually the household. You run the businesses. You run wards in our hospitals. Yeah? When does the pledge actually become practice? So we need to see that actually becoming practice. You're capable. Okay, that's a question for for bosses in Windhoek to answer. All right. So now, what is the time? All right, still have about 2 or 3 minutes. So now, let me take you to a hospital. I'm okay. Any hospital, maybe Katutura State, or maybe Rundu, or maybe Oshakati Intermediate. Now, here is the striking number from the report. 749 new non-management appointment were made last year. Okay? And of those, 590 went to the Ministry of Health and Social Service. You see that? Of those 749, 590 went to the Ministry of Health and Social Service. So that's 79% of all new hire below management went actually to one ministry alone. If you're looking at that, just from that, okay? So why? Because we are bleeding for medical staff. We are. So standardization should actually lift everyone, not just those who already have the, who have plenty already. Yeah. I just don't know how do people see themselves when they think, oh, we are doing so much, so we deserve so much more. Is that how they look at themselves? And the timing. For me, the timing is just off. There's so many things that my president have done, but this one, nah, not for me. And the timing is what makes this bitter. It's really what makes this bitter. Teachers are striking, unions are rejecting offers, civil servant, you know, across the country, are on the lowest grade. And they are being told, accept that 700 a month as an increase. And in that same moment, politicians are getting $1 million packages, with free utilities. And you don't need, as I said, you don't need to be an economist to see the problem. You just need to be a Namibian who goes to the shop and see the prices. As I said, you know, look at them when we are shopping. We are together with them in the shop. And then in those rows, you can see what is in there. I mean, you can also see how they immediately pick up weight. You become a member of parliament, or you become a minister or deputy, whatever. And then, so by a sudden, you know, you pick up some weight. Good life. And no wonder why sometimes you have, you know, when you have fighting and, now in a political party, when you have now this fraction and things like that, this unity, it's because everyone want to get on the table. It's no more about people. It's about everyone. I want to get there as well. I want to get employed, because that's an opportunity. It's an opportunity of employment. Even if we have nurses that are actually on the street. So, but here we are bleeding for, you know, get this, 30 foreign nationals were brought in to work in our public services. 30 of them, 28 of them went to the health ministry. You know, doctors, specialists, you know, pharmacists, you know, they're filling gap that, frankly, we Namibians have not been able to fill ourselves. Yeah? So we're still at that point. So when I talk, when I always tell people, look at the number, my friend. And here's another telling detail. 16 public servant past the age of 60. 16 past the age of 60 were kept on the payroll past their retirement because, simply put, putting it simply, we cannot afford to lose their skills. Because we cannot afford to lose their skill. Why?
So now here's the question for our universities. Yeah? That's the question for our universities and our training institutions and the policymakers. 36 years after independence, why are we still importing? Yeah? So why are we still importing, you know, doctors? So why are we still importing doctors? Why our omas and opas being asked to keep working when they should, you know, when they should actually enjoy their pensions? So now then, this is not about blaming foreign professionals here. Seriously, they are saving lives. We thank them. But it's about asking what happened to the pipeline. What happened to the pipeline? Where is the next generation of Namibian specialists? That's the question. All right. So we couldn't go into the whole report things because of time, because there's a discipline fine, that there's a file for disciplining. We could have gone into that. That's the interesting one. I could have gone to that because that's the most interesting one. So, yeah, well, that brings us to the end of the day today. That brings us to the end, not the end of the day, to the end of unpacking the day. So, yeah, let me hand you over to Wintuk in the capable hands of Mbarangaja, so who is coming up with Kuthamosha. So let's do this again tomorrow. At the same time here on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. So from me, Mike Oshaveli, to the end, it's the end of the month. So I wish you a good day and enjoy the rest of the day. So from me, goodbye.